Hey there.
I'm James.
And I'm Sam.
We love television.
But it can often be a cruel mistress.
Cutting off new shows before they ever get a chance to shine.
Here on We Hardly Knew You, we give these single season shows a fair shake.
By actually going back and watching them.
Join us today as we continue our discussion of Terra Nova.
Does James truly lack the requisite neural pathways created by narrative connectors that could lead him to the clearly foreshadowed cliffhanger of season one?
To what lengths will Sam go in order to sufficiently provide our listeners with adequate background information on our single season TV shows?
What are the chances Steven Spielberg listens to the show and will answer the call to write us a letter we will never read?
Answers to these questions and more. In part three,
Terra Nova, We Hardly Knew You. Let's talk about Terra Nova.
Okay.
I'm going to take the gum out of my mouth now.
All right. You do that. You take the gum out of your mouth. Let's try to talk about this a little bit more.
Okay.
Because you say, you mention, and this is true.
Okay.
We talk about a show. We watch a show.
Yep.
We come on this podcast. We talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, we bash it.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Unless we just straight up loved it.
Yeah.
Kind of like Erie, Indiana, Freaks and Geeks, Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
I did like this show.
Yes, I agree.
There was a lot wrong with it, though.
Yes, there was. Honestly, it's not a worry. I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong or putting bad vibes into the universe or anything. I just worry about myself that I know I like a thing and yet I can't explain why I like it nearly as well as I can explain why I don't like it.
Things you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what that says about me as a person.
Well, I just wanted to make clear and I think you as well. We do like this. I like Terra Nova.
Yeah. You said you might even go back and watch it one day.
Like I could, yeah. Mm-hmm. If there was a second season. Because like I said, I was interested in what happened with...
The cliffhanger that we still haven't gotten to.
Why should we? We don't know what happens.
Well, but where it leaves us at by the end, intrigued.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But how much can we really talk about? I mean, I can just say what it is and then we'll be done with it.
So they established during the last few episodes, like we said, the beginning of the show, the mystery behind everything is being slowly built up in a dramatic way.
Kind of.
The middle of the show,
oh, yeah.
There's nothing. It's okay, just stagnant.
Yep.
And then at the end, they just have to put everything together so that they can have a climactic ending.
Right.
But in that end point when they still try to keep a little bit of mystery by sending troops out to the Deadlands or the Badlands.
I think it's the Badlands.
The Badlands.
I think.
Where like nothing is supposed to be. And once they get rid of those guys, they have one container of collected materials and they open the container. And it's the prow of a ship.
Right.
Like an old wooden sailing ship.
Yeah, yeah. And which suggests...
Bermuda Triangle.
Really?
That's where my mind went immediately.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was supposed to be obvious, but I don't accept any other explanation. I don't accept that I could be wrong. Definitely right.
Well, see, I think that's a perfect illustration of how of the kind of media viewer I am.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that and then start trying to figure out what it could be. I just took it at face value. I was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
there are things in the Badland.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what you're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to figure, ooh, Bermuda Triangle, mm-hmm. other people got sent back to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a, because they also established that the Earth mm-hmm. they're in.
Is an alternate.
Yeah. Isn't the same Earth.
Right.
That, you know, it's that, Avengers Endgame
branching multiverse theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do a good job of explaining, because that would be like the weird conceit of it, is the butterfly effect still exists.
Right.
By going back, you would be destroying your present, unless you believe in the multiverse, like right. where it just makes a branching timeline.
Branching timeline. Yeah, so I thought, okay, since this isn't the same Earth, maybe humans just developed earlier and they're living over here and there's a, mm-hmm. another rival version of people. But anyway,
mm-hmm. Well, see,
so that was the season ending cliffhanger there.
I find it interesting that you say that illustrates you as a media consumer, that you don't try to guess. But I also don't try to guess. It just, like, dots just connect.
Yeah.
And I'm often wrong, although this time I don't accept that I am. But, like, I'm not trying to solve the mystery yeah. as much as, like, my brain is just making assumptions.
Okay. And so maybe that, and I said try mm-hmm. because I just truly don't understand, not even understand, I just don't. I don't engage in that at all. So you say it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take you at your word that it doesn't just happen for me.
Right. And I'm just wondering, like, do you have to actively like fight off the urge to
I kind of just take in a movie or a TV show. And when something is like crazy in your face, like a bomb diffusing mm-hmm. or somebody's running away from, you know, the monster, mm-hmm. whatever. They're like tropes.
Yeah.
I definitely recognize mm-hmm. and like see coming.
Yeah.
But I usually just let myself be immersed mm-hmm. in the media mm-hmm. and I let them tell me the story.
Yeah.
And I say it like this. I don't try to figure it out because I don't try.
Yeah.
And it was actually my assumption that other people were going into a movie or TV show and like trying to figure it out.
Well, a lot of people do. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I'm sure those people exist, but it honestly didn't even occur to me that mm-hmm. some people are just watching a thing and mm-hmm. all these things just show up in their head. They're like, well, mm-hmm. I think this is going to happen. This must be going on. Mm-hmm. They're like reading. I don't know. They're just predicting things inadvertently.
What? Yeah,
I just genuinely don't when I'm watching TV and movies.
It's just that like neural pathways. Like they talk about how the brain and memory works is that it's always just trying to draw connections. And so for me, I saw, I thought the past, and actually what really did it for me was the fact that they talked about their way of traveling was a naturally occurring fracture right. in time that right. they didn't create.
Right.
And then the ship head and the idea that at the Bermuda Triangle ships have been right. lost for centuries.
It's water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it would be a naturally occurring thing.
Yep.
And so my neurons just linked those paths. And like I said, I don't accept that I'm wrong because nobody will ever prove me wrong because I don't foresee 9 years later Terra Nova getting greenlit.
them bringing that back.
They actually did for a very brief amount of time in 2012 have talks with Netflix about bringing it into Netflix for a second season.
This show?
Terra Nova.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But apparently that fell through.
Did you read that on the Wikipedia
page? I read that on the Wikipedia page, yes. And that's the only, We Hardly Knew You guarantee. I will never do research on any of these shows deeper than reading the Wikipedia page.
Right. No, we already spent hours of our week or our weeks mm-hmm. watching the show.
Yeah.
Not doing any deeper dive mm-hmm. than just seeing what Wikipedia has already compiled for us.
Yeah. If Steven Spielberg wants to come here and tell me more about it on air,
yeah.
I'll take that.
He's welcome to join us. There's a seat, seat right here.
But if he writes me a handwritten letter from his home stationery that I have to read with my eyeballs, I'm not putting that much work into it.
No. Definitely frame it and keep it on the mantle.
But I'll never know what it says.
I'll never know what it says. Oh, what is that up there? Oh, that's a handwritten letter from Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. Well, what does it say? I have no idea.
I've never
read it.
I assume it's about Terra Nova, but
well, I'll never know. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'll never read that.
Yep. You want to read it and tell me about it?
You can tell me about it if you want. Mm-hmm. I surely am not reading it.
Mm-hmm. Especially not now, because I just made that promise to the listener. I got to stick to my word.
So
just Steven, like Taylor would have.
So Mr. Spielberg, please send us a letter. We will not read it.
Yeah. You can say anything. You can just
say whatever you want.
You can tell us how terrible you think our show is.
You'd be probably mostly correct.
Yeah.
Because you're the expert here, not us.
Yeah, I mean, he made Tiny Toons, so I respect his show making abilities.
Exactly. Okay, last thing.
Okay.
I want to bring up.
All right.
I understand Elizabeth. She's a great doctor.
Yes.
That's how they got to Terra Nova.
Mm-hmm.
She's recruited, basically. Right.
We later find out specifically her because Malcolm, the head of the science department,
right,
is super into her and right, didn't think that the husband would be able to break out of jail to also join.
Break out of jail. Ooh, yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yep.
But anyway, in this show, you have Malcolm, you have Elizabeth, and Jim or whoever just seems to always go to one of these two for all the smart stuff.
Yeah.
For all the science-y stuff.
It's a very Bruce Banner, Tony Stark style of like, if you're a scientist, you're good at all the science.
All the science.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an issue with that because Elizabeth, I think if I had to categorize the type of science or medicine she practiced, she seemed more like a surgeon, physician.
Yeah. Well, she said that
kind of doctor.
They pointed out early on that in her like medical class, there are much dumber people that had like gone on to specialize.
Oh, okay.
And became like very rich and bought homes in the domes of 2149 with like their own atmospheres.
Yeah, the dumber people went on to become doctors.
Yeah. But
specialized doctors.
Well, but they're saying like they were able to become doctors, but she is even smarter than them.
Oh yeah.
But she stayed an ER doctor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So she seems to specialize in just like fixing trauma.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is
whatever
which
you call that. I don't
know. Yeah. Which is fine. That's what she was brought to Terra Nova to do.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. She also did like some like autopsy. And like evaluated like the dead, which is like a different kind of being a doctor. But
it was like I was on an episode of Bones because they had that skeleton.
But then there was an episode where Jim had this piece of evidence. It was a drop of blood, and it fell into that paint thinner.
Which, to be clear, would have just immediately destroyed it.
That's what I mean. Because okay. And that's another thing. I'm gonna make an asterisk here. Hopefully I remember what that means.
You for the listener, he literally on a blank like corner of his page just put an asterisk next to nothing.
Yeah, I did.
And then you circled it.
Yeah, I circled
it. As if to add emphasis to what is already an asterisk.
I want to remember this.
But it's not anything. It's just a blank part of your page.
It's an asterisk. That's going to remind me of the thing I want to say.
It's like tying a string to your finger?
Yes. He had the drop of blood in the paint thinner.
Yeah.
And he brought it to Elizabeth. He's like, I have this evidence. I need you to get the blood. I need you to get the DNA evidence out of this paint thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at him. She's like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that to Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me think, okay, Malcolm is like a chemist. He deals with chemicals and elements and stuff like that. He's that kind of scientist. Okay, cool. Then the last episode when they need to put together the terminus gate that brings people back and forth from 2049.
Now it doesn't. It focuses the fracture
onto
one spot.
It's a thing. It's a piece of machinery. It's a piece of metal. He's putting that together.
Mm-hmm.
That's not chemistry.
No. Now I buy a little bit that he can stretch between departments because
mm-hmm. he's like the head of the department.
He's the head of, yeah. of the science of the whole colony.
Right.
Now, it's a bit of a stretch because that's such in-depth astro, like, physics.
Right.
To, like, help make that portal run.
Right. It's like, okay, you're good with cars, but now I need you to synthesize a gasoline to put in the car. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand it relates to the car. Mm-hmm. I can fix your engine. I can put tires on it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know anything about combustion.
Right.
You know, those are different areas of science, but okay. Now we're going to talk about, cause I remember the star.
Yeah. It's an asterisk.
I remember it. Mm-hmm. I remember what I was going to say.
Because you knew that if you didn't, I would crucify you endlessly.
I remember what this is about. Again, like I mentioned, they start things just to fix them later. And yeah. then I don't understand why you even
started them in the first place.
The
because
problem.
You are obnoxiously minimalistic.
Why you started the problem in the first place. Mm-hmm. So there's this drop of blood.
Yeah.
It's in paint thinner, like you said. That should have just...
That would just... that one, that part did upset me.
Right. It's like, okay, no. There's a single drop of blood and it's in paint thinner. It's done. There's mm-hmm. no
and way. And just so we're clear, not like a drop of blood and a drop of paint thinner.
Right,
it was
right.
a drop of blood in like a can of
yeah,
paint thinner.
Not even a couple of... It was a single drop of blood
mm-hmm.
in a can of paint thinner. And they had to get it to Malcolm so that he could... do chemistry and extract DNA from yeah he's like and so he hands it to him. He was like, can you do it? And Malcolm's like, it'd be like finding a needle in a haystack, because I think he was an Aussie or something.
He didn't have a thick accent, but he had a little bit of an accent.
He said, it'll be like finding a needle in a haystack, but I can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, well then why didn't you just have it be a drop of blood on a board or on a plate or something?
Because we had to get chemistry involved.
You can still have chemistry involved. You're getting DNA out of a blood sample.
I mean, but this is future. This is future detecting.
But I mean,
he would have just had like a little swab and it would have gone into a little gray box and then the DNA would have read out
the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, like you create this conflict just to fix it, and there's like no stakes involved in either fixing it or not getting it fixed.
There were a few times when I did have to remind myself, like, I think I can allow something that I don't usually allow because this is supposed to be future, like, tech.
The other thing that got me in that same vein, do you remember when there was that dragonfly thing mm-hmm. that was carrying that microchip?
Yes.
And they thought that's the thing that was...
There was a dragonfly that was flying between the Sixer camp and Terra Nova, and it had a microchip on its leg that had like information that was being transported back and forth.
Right.
Yes.
And so they figured out that this was a thing that was like transporting information back and forth, and they're like, well, the reason they caught it was because some guy swatted it with his gun
mm-hmm.
and it fell and it broke its wing.
So just like dumb luck that it happened to run into a guy that hit it.
The guy that hit it. And so they're like, what if we put our own chip on it, you know, our own tracker mm-hmm. and sent it back out mm-hmm. and then it'll tell us where the Sixer camp is or whoever the spy is or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Malcolm's like, oh, we can't because its wing is broken. And they're like, oh no, that's too bad. How else are we going to, you know, find out who the spy is? And mm-hmm. then later in the episode, they're like, ooh, we can put a tracker on this dragonfly
mm-hmm.
and it'll go back to the spy. And they're like, but how? You said the wing was broken. He said, I fixed the wing.
Yeah.
So why'd you break the wing if that's all you were going to do is have him fix it?
Because,
and again, like I said, they do it off camera.
You don't even show me
the process, like the painstaking process of him doing it.
I mean, I know the answer to the question that you're asking, and
what is it?
The answer to the question is they needed to halt the storyline for a little while. And so they came up with that excuse, and then they just took that excuse away when they needed the storyline to move on.
I'm not okay with that.
I didn't say that you were going to like the answer. I just said you asked why, okay, and I knew why.
Are you okay with that?
It's pretty lazy.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
But that's what
it's lazy.
I feel like that's what we've said about like a lot of things about the show is that, you know, I enjoy, you know, Taylor and all of those interactions. I enjoy Jim and a lot of the family's interactions.
Yeah.
We haven't talked very much about Zoe, but she is very adorable.
She's cute. Yeah.
But
I liked when she played Taylor in the play.
She plays. So it's like this little girl and she has like a fake gray beard yeah. and like fake gray hair and she plays Taylor.
I actually wrote down, I was like, mighty progressive of Terra Nova. You know, to have a little girl play an old man in a play.
Yep.
I like it.
And then there's like after Wash dies and like Taylor's being sad by the fire.
That was sweet.
And Zoe like says a bunch of nice things.
I want to add that to the to the things I liked.
Yeah.
Because that actually, you know, in all seriousness, that was a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one because Taylor, lost kind of like one of the last things that was, or things, people mm-hmm. that were like really close to him.
Yeah.
And he's having his kind of reflective moment by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe just out of nowhere shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Says some nice things.
And like talks about her in a way that is very sincere and still very childlike.
Yeah.
That, you know, she was nice. I think she says like, she was really nice to me when some example. And
she's like, she taught me which way is north.
Oh yeah, that's like, right.
She was really nice in our wilderness training or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was like, what did she teach you? And she said, she taught me which way is north.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, which way is it? And she pointed, he's like, she taught you well.
And then like she legitimately as a little girl wouldn't know like deep, important emotional things to say. She doesn't, but then she just hugs him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is almost exactly, I think, mm-hmm. from my perspective, what Taylor needed.
Yeah.
Like he knew Wash was a great person.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
You just needed to just show him some love.
Yeah. I don't even remember what we were talking about anymore. A lot of things that happen exist when the plot needs them and solely because the plot needs them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's not good writing, but also it happens in fine TV shows all the time.
And that wasn't a bad way to go about that either.
Mm-hmm. What, the wing breaking thing?
No. No, the Zoe.
Oh, the Zoe thing?
The Zoe thing.
Oh, no. I don't think that was... I was going back to what we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
I thought the Zoe thing was great.
Yeah, the Zoe thing was great.
Mm-hmm.
My point that we digressed from earlier was how... Because also, I wasn't aware... Maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like they were inferring that Malcolm was the one that fixed the wing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a chemist.
He's an everything doctor.
He's a chemist.
I did appreciate that there were times. He is a scientist.
Yeah, but you're not all the science.
But I did appreciate that there were at least times where if it wasn't a medical thing, they would say that Elizabeth like couldn't do it because she is a doctor, not a scientist.
I just wanted to say Malcolm and Elizabeth, they do all the smart sciencey stuff and Elizabeth is a doctor and Malcolm is a chemist. It doesn't mean he can put back together a time fracture gate. That'd be like a thing a physicist and an engineer would have to do.
Yeah. I appreciated with the medical stuff that some of it got real nasty and everybody in the show besides the doctor knew how nasty it was.
Couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cause, Maddie was doing like an internship with her mom and she just found out like she was super squeamish.
Yeah.
And didn't even like want to engage in,
I mean, you say she was super squeamish. I say that she is a reasonable amount of squeamish because the first thing that they have is like this dude who just gets like his arm like meat tenderized in like some kind of chipper.
Yeah.
And then like another dude who's got like this nasty prehistoric boil on his shoulder. And then the worst one for me was in a different episode when one of the teens who make their homemade bathtub gin he drinks some kind of like unfermented root or whatever and gets and a tapeworm
that they have to just manually
like just roll out of his gut, and like they show it like coming out of him.
He drank his unfermented moonshine
and
got a tapeworm, and it was enormous.
Yeah, it was 30 feet or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because that was the EMP episode.
Yeah, where all the technology, and like that was the thing, was Sky was really squeamish about it, but once the EMP went off and, you know, she had to be the one to
go hands on with it. Because Elizabeth was like starting up the sonic surgery table or whatever.
Right. And she was like, it's going to take 2 seconds.
Yeah. She had these two like Wii remotes that she was going to like
basically
do surgery with. And then all the lights go off. She's like, well, here's a stick. Let's wrap it around it and just roll
it out.
Out of you. Got to go real slow because its teeth are holding on to stuff.
Mm-hmm. It also surprised me how much like they really showed dinosaurs chomping down on people sometimes. Like they didn't show guts, mm-hmm. but they showed the...
Oh, yeah. They mm-hmm. definitely showed the chomp down on it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your verdict here?
You feel really confident in yours, so I want you to confidently proclaim yours.
I don't...
You said that. You did.
I said I had some ideas. I'm not confident in those ideas. I just had them.
Oh, okay.
So you're probably going to disagree like you do with everything.
I don't disagree with everything.
You disagree with virtually, like you're doing right now, you disagree with virtually everything I say.
I would only really disagree with you if you said it wasn't about the Bermuda Triangle.
It's not even what I'm talking about.
I know it's not, but...
I'm talking about how I think the show could have and maybe even should have progressed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, made it a more cohesive...
So are you talking story. About renewing, remixing, remaining, or recalling?
I'm probably more so talking about remixing it.
Okay. See, that's what I wanted to know.
It's actually more of a remix
mm-hmm.
and a renew. Like, I want you to do it this way,
mm-hmm.
the first season this way.
Mm-hmm.
We can end up in the same spot.
Right.
And then I want to see what's next.
Okay.
Because I was interested in what happened next.
Mm-hmm.
But... I would have probably abandoned everything in that first episode about them having 3 kids and Jim being in prison and having to like sneak into Terra Nova.
Because you don't think it's necessary?
No, because my story, it's not necessary to my story.
Okay. What's your story? Well, then what's your story
exactly,
then? You seem to have something really specific.
That's what I'm saying. I would have abandoned all that in the first episode. I don't, mm-hmm. I was really interested in him being in prison just to break him out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that it gave them an opportunity to establish what kind of world they're leaving.
Yes. It wouldn't have
meant as much to me if they just like popped into Terra Nova and they talked about how bad their old world was.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So Jim was a narcotics detective.
I believe that's correct. Yes.
Okay. He was a detective. But they didn't get to Terra Nova because he was a detective.
Right.
He got there because Elizabeth was a doctor.
Right.
And when he got there, he had to be more or less a day laborer
mm-hmm.
because...
That's right.
Number one, because Taylor, he was like, well, you snuck in here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of your punishment. But second, Taylor wasn't like, ooh, yeah, I have a police officer now.
Mm-hmm.
I can do something. So they get to Terra Nova because Elizabeth is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Jim now doesn't have a role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe his identity was being... this detective,
yeah.
But now he's got to be a day laborer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So in his day laboring duties, you mm-hmm. know, he finds out about this group called the Sixers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And since he can't quite put away mm-hmm. being a detective,
mm-hmm.
he just starts doing this stuff on his own.
He becomes Batman.
Yeah.
Secret vigilante detective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With not as much like skull cracking, mm-hmm. just the detective part.
Okay.
But eventually, you know, he starts making, you know, some progress because, I mean, he is an actual by trade detective.
Mm-hmm.
Starts to get in Taylor's good graces. And then that's when Taylor kind of mm-hmm. makes him a true blue sheriff, I guess. But then that way you can slowly reveal to us and to Taylor and to Jim who the spy is.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure I'm okay with it being Sky in my
construction
of it.
That's another example of subverting expectations by having it be the most obvious person.
Yeah.
Because everyone was suspicious of Sky because she came in
on the same pilgrimage
as the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone was like, oh, she came in with the Sixers. She could be a Sixer. And then she was. And then they were right.
And then they were right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's the right way to go with it. But my construction of this first season is you can still do that episodic thing
mm-hmm.
where there was the EMP episode.
There was the pterodactyl episode.
There's the pterodactyl episode.
There was the forgetting virus.
There's the memory loss virus. So you can still do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the overarching narrative is Jim slowly picking away at this mystery. And this is the mystery. Who's the spy?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Taylor's son? Who are the Sixers? How are they? Mm-hmm. Jim, not single-handedly, but, you know, mm-hmm. heading up this effort to look into all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they slowly come out, figure out, you know, Lucas is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's planning to do all this. And then we can have those last three episodes kind of more or less how they existed.
But there was more of a buildup to get to them.
Right.
See, I like a lot of what you're saying, except the one thing I don't is that portion where Jim comes in and doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
And Taylor says, well, there's no free rides here.
Yeah.
But we've got you now because, you know, we can't send you back.
Yeah.
And so the portion where Taylor assigns him to a job and he humbly like accepts that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that I think that says a lot about Jim as a character, that he came to Terra Nova knowing he was going to be at the mercy of whoever was on the other side of the portal.
Yeah.
And that he wasn't going to get the life that he wanted for himself,
mm-hmm.
but he did
this. This is what was right for his family.
But he did it for his family.
Yeah.
And he was willing to accept the consequence, which was that day laboring job that he didn't really love.
But he did it, yeah.
But he did it because he accepts his consequences. He takes his licks as long as he's taking care of his family.
Right.
And also, I did really enjoy the scene. It built him up a little bit as a character where he was supposed to like cut vines down from a section of fence.
Yeah.
And doesn't realize that's walked up on him. What's that?
That giant beetle walked up on him.
Yeah. It was like a big old centipede and it like crawls on his arm and he literally like falls down like 10
the whole,
feet.
Yeah. The whole height of the fence.
Mm-hmm. And just like him really struggling at being a day laborer.
I mean, is it your perception that those things won't exist in my story?
I mean,
I think I leave room for that.
Do you? Because you seem to like
he is a day laborer, but going about his day laborer job, mm-hmm. you know, he talks to people, he finds stuff out. He's mm-hmm. still doing that job.
Okay.
But he can't quite, because yeah, In my head, yeah, Jim's like, oh, this is what we got to do. We got to go to Terra Nova.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care if I can't be mm-hmm. detective anymore. This is what's right for my family.
Mm-hmm.
So he sets off to be a day laborer. He's like, this is fine. This is what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's just that itch that still exists. And when a thing comes up
mm-hmm.
that kind of scratches that itch,
yeah,
he just can't quite get away from it.
He can't not do it.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
So you'd still get that scene.
Because we said that we in the show that does exist question the fact that like he's not that it wouldn't happen, but that Elizabeth is okay with it, that he's constantly putting himself in danger.
Yeah.
after just being able to return to his family.
But I mean, he was putting himself in danger like by like doing missions outside the gate.
Mm-hmm.
All I mean in this is like he's just doing detective work,
yeah.
which isn't as sexy as people think it is.
Oh, that's
true. It's not like stakeouts and hiding on top of buildings and stuff. It's
like Lenny Briscoe.
It's just like talking to people. Mm-hmm. And sitting by yourself and thinking about it a lot.
Mm-hmm. When I think detective work, I think Lenny Briscoe from Law & Order, Jerry Orbach.
I didn't watch that version of Law & Order.
You mean Law & Order?
Well, there's Law & Order SVU too.
I mean, there are and Law & Order Law & Order Criminal Intent, and yeah. There are like two others that only...
Which actually Law & Order doesn't exist anymore.
I know it doesn't.
Law & Order SVU does.
I don't think Criminal Intent exists anymore
either. I think that was the first one to go.
But I think all told, I'm pretty sure Law & Order, the original, still has the most seasons.
Might have the most seasons. That might be true. But SVU's got to be coming up on it.
Yeah, I don't understand like, why like people want to watch SVU more than original Law & Order. Original Law & Order is the best
Law
&
Order. No, it wasn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it wasn't.
Because it has Detective Lenny Briscoe. So.
Mm-hmm. We might have to make another podcast just about Law & Order.
Just about Law & Order, where you'll watch one episode of Law & Order SVU and I'll watch one episode of Law & Order. And then
we'll compare them.
Yeah.
And we'll fight about which one was better.
But without having watched the one the other person did.
Yeah. We'll just be mad at each other for having different opinions.
Yep. That seems like the world we live in, so...
We'll see. Okay. No, we're not going to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
We would be disagreeing on a TV show.
That's true.
Not about whether or not people have rights, but that's all I want to say about that.
Uh-huh.
I want that on the record.
Good.
We can disagree about TV.
Yes, and we do, and we're about to.
We're about to continue to disagree.
Because I can understand the desire to remix the things that we didn't like, because, again, the writing was a little lazy.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder why Fox was so quick to want to...
To give it all its episodes.
All its episodes, and even for a show that required more money than most shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where I've now watched 13 episodes with these actors playing these characters in the mm-hmm. way that I've now seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of develop an emotional connection to the characters... And I don't want them to change.
Okay.
However, so I think what I'm saying is I want to renew.
Yeah.
And I want to get a season two.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to remix season one at all. But in the new season, I want the writers to address these problems
and do them better.
Yes.
Which is usually how second, third, and subsequent seasons of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the first season's always rocky.
Yeah. And then the second and the third are usually pretty good. Yeah. And then it starts dragging further than it should.
Than it should have. So you are in the just straight up renew.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a staunch remix because I like what I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do want to see... Because I like that Phoenix militia
mm-hmm.
group kind of like coming in and taking over, and then they got to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
They run them off into the Badlands. But, ooh, what's in the Badlands? So let's mm-hmm. explore that in season two. Well, I like that stuff.
Yeah, like the cliffhanger they leave them at. Now, I will say, I assume that whatever's in the Badlands is a big draw for them, and they know what it is, and we have to learn why they went there.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit weird. They did not chase them to the Badlands. The Phoenix Squadron just all left.
They just went there.
Mm-hmm. They didn't fight them off, which further made me feel a little bit like those last two or three episodes were just like a race to the finish line. Yeah.
They're like, we got three of these left.
Mm-hmm. We don't have time for them to fight them out of town. They just need to leave.
That part about them like chasing them out of town, they just did.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. Yep. They're going to the Badlands. That's all we can say about that.
Yeah. We set the cliffhanger.
We got 7 minutes left.
And we get to have the final shot of the Shannon family watching a meteor shower.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wrote down, meteor showers are often underwhelming.
I have not gotten to view enough of them myself because we live in a city.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In a city, they're definitely underwhelming.
I mean, I think even in, because it's not even about if you can see them or not. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're not that tightly grouped together.
No, not like it was on the show.
Yeah, it's like even if you were out in the middle of the desert, no light pollution, you see it and you're like, ooh. Mm-hmm. And then 2 minutes later, ooh. Mm-hmm. And then a minute later, oh, there's another one.
If you're watching a meteor shower, because I would do that, but you have to know, like, it's, you're going out there and you're doing it for a while. To get any like real amount of meteor shower.
It's not a fireworks show where it's going to start at 7 and then you're going to see mm-hmm. like constant meteors for 30 mm-hmm. minutes.
Yeah.
You're just going to kind of like see them sporadically.
Yeah. And if you think that that's like a cool and interesting thing to actually get to view in nature,
yeah,
then you'll enjoy that. But if you're trying to get like, if you're just trying to get straight up entertainment value out of
it's
it,
it's not
that's
be
not
that.
What you're there for.
Yeah, you're like a physicist mm-hmm. that finds this kind of stuff interesting. You'll love it.
Or like a spiritual, you know, right. connected to the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, if you're just somebody that wants to be entertained,
go watch fireworks.
You're not going to be entertained by mm-hmm. a meteor shower.
This is interesting. We don't usually get. Well, we don't often disagree on this part, but it's been a little while since we've had something that we would really want to renew or, you know, remix slash renew.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of leave it where it lies.
Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because with some of those other shows like Freaks and Geeks, it's just like been so long
mm-hmm.
that to straight up renew it like wouldn't really work.
Yeah. I think I did say I'd be interested in a renew that was like the next generation.
Yeah.
Or, well, really it'd be two generations
exactly.
at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Erie, Indiana. I would watch a good remix of Erie, mm-hmm. Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't renew it.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. I think this one is like close enough
mm-hmm.
that, yeah, for once we could just kind of just say, hey, yeah, hit that renew button
yeah,
and just finish what you were doing.
And, you know, I mean, like you were saying a few conversation episodes ago, the woman who plays Maddie is now becoming more of a well-known actress because
mm-hmm.
she blew up the screen on that Aladdin live action thing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That was no joke.
I'm sure the first thing she thought when she finally, you know, saw her name up there on the big screen was, now I finally have enough clout to bring back Terra Nova.
To finish. Yeah, you remember what we started with Terra Nova?
All right, Batman, let's get on it.
Let's get back on it, Batman.
Mm-hmm. Also, Taylor has one of the most gorgeous man smiles. I just wanted to say that. No. Once again, our former future has become our past as the slow march of time relegates our presence to pasthood.
Stop worrying about all these yesterdays. We need to start living our todays like there's no tomorrow. And speaking of no tomorrow, next time we'll be doing just that by starting a new discussion on the CW's romantic comedy, No Tomorrow.
And if you're worried our future will slip right past your present, just hit that subscribe button or search We Hardly Knew You on Twitter or Instagram.
And until then, we hardly knew you.